Hello, I'm Karen, and this is another story from the You Economy. Today, I'm talking with the white hot Danielle Laporte. Danielle has been affectionately referred to as the high priestess of entrepreneurship, and she writes on everything from consciousness to cash, and in every format from soundbite to weighty tome. Her latest book is The Firestarter Sessions, and it lands today, and it's a must-read, in my opinion. Thank you so much for talking to me, Danielle.
Oh, honored. I love what you do and how you do it.
Thank you. So to kick things off, one question that you ask often that I love and that I've used with my clients a lot is, what do people thank you for? So, and in the book you wrote, and I love this quote, gratitude is a feedback loop that will show you where you are thriving. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, Danielle, what do people thank you for?
People thank me for being me. And I know that just sounds so diva coming out of the gate, like, ooh. But I think why there's some gratitude is there is because I'm fairly transparent about how I do what I do, why I do what I do. And sadly or amazingly enough, that's like refreshing in our marketplace, mm-hmm. that someone is, down to earth and opinionated. I'm interested in ambition and consciousness and meaningfulness and generosity. So there's something in the duality that I bring that I think relieves people. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, totally agree. So one thing that is really unique about the Firestarter Sessions book is its design and layout. And I think everything that you do has that really unique design, and you always stand apart in the market because of your visual design. So I would love to know, how do you use the language of visual design to better spread your message to the right people?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just first pause and make a point that it is so important. I mean, just the fact that you're asking me this in an interview about a book, mm-hmm. a self-help book, says like design really matters. Yeah. It gets people's attention. It creates a visceral response. It matters. So now that I made the point about it matters, and you can find yourself a graphic designer that you really resonate with, how do I use it? I use it everywhere, all the time. There is nothing, everything about my brand, my visual brand, is consistent. Mm-hmm. I use it in language. You know, I'm all about word economy. This is why Twitter was made. Twitter was made for me. I came out speaking from the womb in 140 characters. So I want everything, ideally I want you to look at something and go, oh, that's kind of Laporte. Mm-hmm. And I have to be conscious to not get stuck in that. And like already, I want to tear my site down. it's all designed, it's designed to be like the new Danielle Laporte. I changed my name and this supports the book. And I'm just like, I'm already thinking of the next color palette, mm-hmm. which will still be Laporte, but it'll be like, it'll be me. I'm not going to be eclipsed by my visual brand.
Yeah. Do you feel any pressure to stay on the edge of your visual brand? Because there seems to be, when you look around, there are other people starting to emanate the Laporte look. And love them. But, I think that it looks like, at least on the outside, that that could put pressure on you. Do you feel that kind of pressure?
Great question. 80% of the pressure I feel to be innovative is internally driven. And it doesn't even feel like pressure. It feels like a call. I feel beckoned. I want to be on that edge. 20% of it, again, it's not pressure, but I feel motivated externally. Like, we did a few new things on my site recently, and I thought, I could wait 6 months to do this, but I'm going to do it now since, a few other people have been very inspired by my design. So let's just do it now. So I get a little bit of nudge from the outside to just move faster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Awesome. So one, it used to be that one of the biggest barriers to entrepreneurship was access. People just didn't have the kind of technology, money, connections at their disposal that they needed to start a business. That's really not the case anymore in the 21st century. And so I am wondering, what do you see as the greatest barrier to entrepreneurship right now? Is it all in our heads? Is there something external that's still acting as a barrier? What do you see?
It's still all in our heads. I think this is perennial. I think it's humanity. I think we get in our way. We've been getting in our own way since, like, we're rubbing the flint together and, like, fight, you know. You can't, you know, whether it's horse and buggy days or we are teleporting ourselves, which we will be in the future, there's one kind of person who will choose to, like, put themselves out there, who will choose to launch their idea. And there is one kind of person who'll say, I don't have what I need yet. I'm scared, or the competition is steep. So it's a choice. No matter what the century, it's a choice.
Yeah. Do you think that that's something that we can change in ourselves? If we find ourselves being that person that says, I'm not ready, or there's the competition, or there's always something, can you, does that person ever have the opportunity to make the other choice?
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is why Oprah is so successful.
Right.
Because her whole empire is based on lifting up those stories of people who've made those choices. You know, mm-hmm. I decided to walk every day and I lost the weight. I decided to sell my cakes and now I have an empire of bakeries. I made the choice. So yes. And how does that happen? I think those choices get made when you're in enough pain. Mm. You know, we've all got those girlfriends who have been bitching about the same chump for a decade. And they're not going to leave until they're ready to leave. And that's, you know, you just be a compassionate girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yep. So when you're in enough pain, you'll bust a move. Or the craving, you know, you wake up enough. You become so aware of your desires. It's like you're like in Alice in Wonderland with getting clear on what you want. And then you can't resist yourself. You have to pick up the phone. You gotta start your business.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that. That's my personal experience in a nutshell. So yeah, thank you.
And look at you now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I think, you know, it's entrepreneurial, but it's also, you know, like you said, it's your personal life too. We face these choices every single day. And I think that experience just carries from one sphere to the next.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my big themes for 2012 is collaboration. And over the last few years, I've watched you really propel your business forward at lightning pace with one collaborative partnership after another. This is a scary realm for a lot of people. So I want to know, how do you determine who you are going to co-create with?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's scary for me because I've had some nasty business divorces. You know, when I did Selling Your Soul with Marie Forleo, and, you know, when I go to RHH, I remember I had this, like, really heart-to-heart with Marie and just said, I have collaboration paranoia, but I love you, so let's do this, but yeah, I just got to say. So for me, it's about someone who is impeccable with their word, who does what they say they're going to do. This is going to sound so businessy, but, like, they've executed on ideas. Mm-hmm. They have cred. They've pulled a few things off. And they're loving. Like, I really, really, I don't want to work with people that I wouldn't, like, want to have to my house for dinner or, like, party with on vacation. And I'm really clear. Like, this is such a, you know, the timing of this question is so sacred in a way, because one thing I've gotten really clear on this year is, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. And you know, there's some people in my life where I don't even know what I'm going to do with them. I just go, you're awesome. Let's do something together.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you really experience that value then in your own life, in your business? What does this, what does the co-creation process do for you? Because it's so easy, I think, to just sit in your office, do the work all by yourself. And, you know, why put yourself out there? How do you experience the value of that?
Well, there's some immediate, you know, there's some business value, which is you join audiences. I get access to your people. You get access to mine. You know, you grow your exposure. There's also this comfort in having another mind to depend on. Like, you know, you're going to bring your knowledge. And that's like one less thing I have to be an expert in. You get to do what you do best. I get to do what I do best. And I like changing my mind sometimes. I like saying, here's the idea. And the other person says, yeah, but if we did this, and you go, oh, that's good. That's good. And I'm also clear, you know, this is sort of like a bigger perspective of collaborating. I can only do it because I feel so anchored in my solitude, my soloness. Like if I wasn't clear on what the Danielle show was, it would not be good. I would get pulled off center. So I have my own thing. And that means I can be a whole person when I collaborate with other people and not get thrown off center. I can bring more value and I can actually expand. It's awesome.
Fantastic. So keeping on the theme of value, you wrote in the book, quote, part of determining your value is how determined you are to give value. Love that. And I believe we all need to think more about how we're making our customers richer in all aspects, not just ourselves. Yes. And I also believe that most people need to get a hell of a lot more clear on what the value is they deliver. Because I think, you know, we are in these kind of shadow clouds of, oh, I do wonderful things. Sure you do. So how can a business owner create laser focus around the value she's providing to her customers and clients?
Oh, you and I could do a teleseminar just on value.
Yes.
Maybe we should. This is so loaded because I'll tell you, this is the dark side. I'm a little tired of people charging $150 an hour to consult with people about how they grow their business when they don't really have a business. And you know it. You know it. You don't have to dig too deep into like the shallow facade of a consultant who is teaching you to do things they haven't really done. So that's happening a lot, and I think we need to be really aware of that. Now, this gets a little, you know, just a little lofty and abstract, but really, 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 I promise you that if you commit to giving value first and how much you can pack it in and how you can under-promise but over-deliver and how you can rock people's socks, I promise you everything else will take care of itself. Give or take. You're going to have to manage your money and be intelligent about things. But I have that singular thought form, that question of how can I add value has given me more ideas. It has kept me on my innovative edge. It has attracted more winners to me to collaborate and play with and help me do what I do than me asking how much profit can I make from this? Hands down. And I love over-delivering. I love it. A friend of mine met with a gazillionaire once and was asking him for like his secrets on how to be a gazillionaire. And he said, always be the giver. And that just stayed with me. Always be the giver. Always be the giver.
Excellent. So last question. I think one of the greatest joys in entrepreneurship is learning more about ourselves, right, as we grow our businesses. So what was one thing you learned about yourself in the process of writing the book and growing your business to support it?
Yeah. Oh, I kind of nodded when you said greatest joys. I was like, yeah, sometimes it's a great pain.
Okay, so true.
Okay, well, oh my God, this is another teleseminar. I have learned so much just in the last 4 weeks. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Back to it's all about relationships. Back to I can do anything. I mean, I haven't even reached, I don't know if I'll reach my goal yet with this book, but I can endure, I can rise above, I can find light anywhere. Not that this has been a difficult process, okay? This has been pretty lovely. And I'm learning a lot about striving and that point where you let go of the striving. It's really been this great creative question for me of like, how much harder do I try? How much more do I give? How much more am I going to push? And those things in their negative place, in their dark place, lead to burnout. And like burnout for me is like not a badge of honor. That's a tweetable. I'm going to have to tweet that after. So I'm clear that striving is about showing up. And then you cannot control the results. That's it. And when you try and control the results, that's when you go cuckoo. And you fry and you get irritating to other people. So, yeah, do all you can. And that is that.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing echoed in what you're saying is that it's the process of experiencing it, actually doing it, is more valuable than any self-help book you could read, any even tweetable phrase you could repeat, right? I mean, these things are good. We want to educate ourselves. We want to expand our philosophies, but it's that experience of it that makes it real, right?
Yeah. I mean, really, I just wrote one. But the world does not really need another self-help book.
Right.
I mean, you need mine.
Right,
I mean,
totally.
Globally, we all need the fire. but none of it matters. Like, theories are nothing. They're nothing. They're dust. Unless you pick up the phone or you stand up at the meeting and you speak your piece or you're the first to say, I love you, or you actually do something about it. You know, I'm really only interested in a dynamic spirituality that is inner and outer. I want to see the results of it, which is very non-Buddhist of me, but that's okay. I haven't taken my Buddhist vows.
I love it. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, you're such a light. Thank you.
Thanks. So the Firestarter Sessions is available everywhere.
Yeah.
And everywhere. And I suggest that you pick up one or maybe a few, give them to your friends. And you can find more on Danielle at daniellelaporte.com or on Twitter at Danielle Laporte. And you can find more out about the You Economy and spread the wealth of this interview with your network at taragentile.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.